that he created the heavens and the earth for us, for one group of people. And I do not believe that there are extraterrestrials, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Yes, those that's there, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But I don't believe in the Mormon doctrine that there are celestial gods and celestial marriages and celestial all these things, and that we one day will. Yeah, that's just craziness to me. The ETs and UFOs can be explained by demonic activity, DNA manipulation. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, it says this: the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, then, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the ancient heroes, men of renown. Dr. Henry Morris, who is senior, who has died now, of Institute for Creation Research, has a wonderful book called The Genesis Record. It's a commentary on Genesis from a creation standpoint. And he explains this based upon the mixing of the seed of demonically controlled people, of DNA manipulation. And his book was written in 1976. Imagine what he could write today. Imagine the things that he could write with the other day, Kathy was telling me, and I saw the news on this, I just didn't look at it, and she was talking about it. They took a drop of dried blood and made a clone out of it. These things were unheard of just a few years ago. Today, it's going to be commonplace. The manipulation of DNA is something that is not just happening in our generation, but I believe has happened in generations before us, is happening once again. See, there's a thought that these people of, you know, the Stone Age and the Bronze Age and the Iron Age and all these ages, who comes up with this stuff? This is science that wasn't there. To say that Noah was you know, kind of this guy that was just getting rid of his tail, that's crazy. Noah, the people of his day. I want to talk about more about the people of his day in just a moment. And I just looked at my time, and I'm going over my one CD into the second CD, and I'm thinking in just a few minutes I'm going to have to turn this off and tell Kathy we got two CDs this month. And okay, I'll suffer the consequences. I got a choice right now of either skipping over some things or laying it out like I want to do. And I so appreciate my wife and the work she does. It's going to be a little bit more work for her, but I think in the end will be worth it. So they find fossils of these huge men. We see in the scripture, who was the guy that was like 9 feet tall or whatever. We see Goliath, of course, but there's others. How did this come about? It came about through DNA manipulation. The people that lived 4,000 years ago, we've been told that this is a bunch of people that are just coming out of the Stone Age and they're stupid. Throw away those books. Throw away those evolution books. These people live closer to the creation than we do. It doesn't take too much study to figure out that the world around us and us, our bodies, the gene pool is disintegrating. The reason we have so much disease today, one reason, is because of this disintegration. There's another word for it, but of the gene pool. Go back generations. What would it have been like to be someone who was like 10 generations from Adam? Think about somebody that was living 600 years. how much could you do with a lot more with more oxygen in the air, with cleaner air, with more pure with purer foods, with a purer environment, and with a brain that's, you know, closer to Adam than close than the end, how much more do you think that you could do? There are studies done that these people were brilliant. I mean, just the thought that Noah could build the ark, that in the time of Solomon, the amazing things that were done that today we have a hard time explaining still. You know, they were done. How much of what we are doing today that we say is cutting edge would debase humans with demonic control think what we're doing is elementary? There are ways to explain all of these things outside of 6 billion years, UFOs and ETs. Now, I believe that today, the UFO thing, much of it is just demonic activity. And we see in the scripture that as we get closer to the end times, there will be more demonic activity upon this earth. We see it happening right in front of us. Let me ask you a question. There are those that believe that there were people from other planets that came and that they propagated with the people of Earth. So if there is a people on Earth who did not come from Adam, why don't you fill in the blanks there? If there's a people on Earth that did not come from Adam, and we today are not able to tell who those people are, what does that do in Scripture? What does that do in the marriage of your son or daughter? What does that do in sharing the gospel? See, some of this sounds good, but in the end, it falls apart. On to the next deception. This one's going to be a little tedious, maybe, in places. Sorcery and magic. Now, as I say sorcery, many would probably say, oh, he's going to talk about Harry Potter and horror movies. Well, if you're watching Harry Potter, or you're allowing your children to watch Harry Potter, you need to give up your parent license, at least your biblical parent license. Because if you're watching Harry Potter and allowing your children to be involved with the sorcery and magic that is coming over the airways today, the horror movies, the mind-bending, illusionary things that are happening, that are being broadcast and in movies, if you are involved in any of that, you need to stop this CD right now and repent for what you're doing. You and I, as followers of Messiah, have no business allowing anything into our lives that has to do with horror movies, with Harry Potter, with I don't want to know. That's the great thing. I don't want to know all those things. But I want to take you to a scripture, and it's in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22:15, it says, I'm going to go to 14. How blessed are those who wash their robes so that they have the right to eat from the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Outside are the homosexuals, those who misuse drugs in a connection with the occult, the sexually immoral, murderers, idol worshippers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. The word there, and I'm sure many of you are going to know this, the word there, and it's translated, those who misuse drugs in connection with the occult. It is translated in many translations, and we go back to actually into Strong's Concordance, into Greek, and I don't believe that Revelation was written in Greek, but this is as close as we got today, and we're going to actually tie it back to Hebraic principles. But the word misuse drugs in connection with occult is the word, the word is normally translated sorcery, a form of witchcraft. But the word comes from the Greek word pharmakeios, which is the word for pharmacy. So let's put this in here. Outside are the homosexuals and those connected with pharmacy. Scripture ties drug use, and I'm going to be very delicate here, but I'm going to say it the way I believe it to be. Scripture ties drug use to witchcraft. Now, if you go to Strong's, it will also tie this word pharmakeia to Balaam. Remember the story of Balaam and the donkey. What was Balaam was, it is called a prophet. He's also called a sorcerer. And Balaam's, what was his sin? If you read through the verses, Balaam's sin was that he was manipulating God. What this verse is talking about is those who are using drugs as a manipulation. And I see that, this is a difficult one. And I'm not telling anybody to get rid of their, you know, prescription or whatever. I'm not saying that. I want you to take an honest look, though, at what a lot of what is being propagated today in our so-called healthcare industry. Much of the healthcare industry today is no more than manipulating God. Healthcare today is not about health. It is about control. And we see with these medical, political, the politics, I don't, the this new so-called health care that's coming in the next years. It is not about health. It is about controlling you. Much of the healthcare system today, I didn't say all, much of the healthcare system today is about control. It is not about health. In Genesis chapter 47, it is a time in Egypt when they've had famine, and Joseph has collected all the food, and in Genesis chapter 47, verse 19. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we and our land will be enslaved to Pharaoh. In recent years, and this is in the United Nations, not just in America, in the United States, but the United Nations is propagating this. To own the land and to own you, to control you. We see in the United States the mortgage crisis. The new mortgages, there are clauses in there from the government that you don't actually own anything. You know, it used to be you and the bank owned it. Now it's you, the bank, and the government. And they can come in at any time and do anything they want. The words of Genesis chapter 47 are coming about again. And there are deceptions happening around us in order that we would give control of who we are unto demonic forces. unto forces that would manipulate God. Forces that would deceive humans. I did not say, again in this, that you need to get rid of your medications. What I said is that you need to take a very, maybe you need to start considering. I won't tell you who it is, but I have someone I know very, very close to me that was recently on antidepressants. And it's amazing. I watch these commercials for antidepressants. And have you ever listened to the side effects? I mean, of a lot of this stuff? Don't you want to just go out and buy a bunch? You take an antidepressant and it's going to make you want to commit suicide. Excuse me? I think that's what the antidepressant was to keep you from. But this person, they were taking antidepressants for a while and they got off of them. And she said to me the other day, she says, you know, I'm really having a difficult time dealing with life. And I said, that's because you've gotten off your antidepressants. See, the antidepressants, they masked what was going on in life. So you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to deal with it anymore. You don't have to face reality anymore. You can just live in a fantasy land. A land of witchcraft, a land of manipulating the things that are around us instead of having to deal with the reality and truth of what's happening in front of us, seeking God, seeking His strength, seeking His direction, seeking His help. Instead, we just mask it, make it go away. Well, it doesn't go away. That's what the sin of Balaam was manipulating things. So instead of dealing with the reality of who he was and what he had become and what he needed to do, instead of dealing with it, he manipulated. Now, I'm going to go on. There's a couple of things that are going to be really close to us. Number one is, and this is a real change of subject, I know, but this speaks to Messianic Hebrew roots deception. Are we still chasing talent instead of anointing? I ask you a question very seriously. Are there people out there still star chasing? Oh, I'm going to go to this conference because this speaker is there and this speaker is so wonderful. Are we still star chasing? Are you going to a conference because God told me I need to be there? There's something I need to hear. I relate this to, I don't do the big conferences a lot, really any anymore. I guess there's a reason for that. But years ago, I was at a conference. We had those breakout sessions, the workshops. I hate those things. I'm not using the word hate. I dislike those things. Why? Because of what it does. And I remember looking at the list of and of the conference, the workshops that are going to go on. And of course, we have all the speakers that are the workshop speakers are going to go to the front. We're going to give like a 30-second clip of what we're going to do that day. And I remember thinking to myself, this is a waste of time. Because the average person that opened their bulletin and looked in there spent absolutely no time at all praying about which workshop they should go to. They went to the one that everybody else would be at. They went to the one that was the greatest star, the biggest name. And the reason I dislike these is because I've been there, and sometimes I would have a day, a day that I didn't have a workshop, and I'd walk by one, and it would be a superstar saying the same thing they've been saying for the last 10 years. And I'd go over to another one, and there'd be a somebody there, two or three people in the room, and it would be the most awesome message, something I'd never heard before, something that was just radical. There was a difference. In one room, there was talent. In another room, there was anointing. In one room, there's a star. In another one, there's a prophet. I dare say that in much of the Messianic Hebrew Roots movement today, we haven't got through the deception of chasing talent instead of seeking anointing. Another deception is the setting of dates. To the best of my recollection, I do not believe I have ever set a date for the return of Messiah or an event. I pray that I have not. I don't remember doing it if I have. But today there are many people that continue to set dates. And I don't try to go out and crucify these people. Because anybody that has a love for the return of Messiah, I stand with. The true Messiah, put it that way. That guy last year that was, or the year before last, that was crazy. I'm not standing with him, but somebody that truly has a love and desire to see the return of Messiah. I'm going to stand with him, and I'm not going to make fun of him, because one day somebody's going to be right, I think. I pray that somebody's going to be right in my lifetime, that Messiah is going to return. But at the same time, there are those that continue to set dates, and a lot of it sounds good. Yeah, I was listening. There's some things being taught today, and I'm not speaking against anybody specifically. I'm just bringing out teachings. There's a teaching about the blood moons that are going to be happening, I guess, in the coming years. And so I asked David Reeves. I was with David at the Purify Conference in Ohio, in Indiana. I guess, where was it? Indiana. And I asked him about it, and I said, "What do you think about it?" He says, "Well," he said, "I've listened to part of it." He said, "The problem I have with it is that those blood moons will not be seen from Israel." And I said, "Oh, really?" See, the scripture was written and should be and must be interpreted today with Jerusalem as its center. And so if it says that there, and one of these blood moons, I'm not into astronomy. I don't have the desire nor the brain cells for that. But he told me, he says, one of these blood moons will only be seen from somewhere down around Australia. I don't believe that it, I personally believe that when the scripture says it will be a blood moon, it must be seen from Jerusalem. Now, he may be wrong. I don't know. I haven't checked it out. But what the reason for saying this is, sometimes things sound good, but the constant setting of dates is hurting many people. I sat with some people not too long ago at lunch, and they said to me, "I listened to this ministry and this ministry, and they said we thought we were right. They sold a lot of things, quit jobs, moved. The day came, the day went." And I could see the hurt in their eyes. I did not in any way judge them, because I saw also in their eyes the longing for the return of Messiah. So I'm not judging people for that, but this constant setting of dates through the years, there's a scripture in Daniel chapter 7, excuse me, verse 25, says he will speak words about against the Most High and try to exhaust the holy ones of the Most High. He will try to exhaust or wear out. What this setting of dates does, it's like the cry wolf. Now, there are times of the year, I have to be real straight with you, there are times of the year, excuse me, that I'm a little more watchful about world events than at other times. One of those times to me is Hanukkah. The others is right around the festivals. I'm a little bit more watchful of world events during those times than I am at other times. And there's times that I look at that and say, you know, I don't know, but there could be something going on during this time. But there, the constant, this date, that date, and it goes by and it goes by, is like the guy that cried wolf over and over again. And when the wolf finally came, the people were too tired of hearing the word wolf, and they were devoured by it. Let's be cautious. Let's be cautious. Now, what will the end of days look like? I want you to grab a pen and paper if you haven't done so already, unless you're driving, okay? Then you can listen to this later on. I have a list of things I'd like to give to you, and this is from the book I mentioned earlier. It's called The Genesis Record by Dr. Henry Morris. It's copyright 1976. And Dr. Henry Morris went through Scripture, and he laid out some things that would be in the last days. And so I'd like to give you those and also give you the Scripture references for you to look up on your own later. Number one, preoccupation with physical appetites. Luke chapter 17, verse 27. Advances in technology. Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. Grossly materialistic attitudes and interests. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Have a hard time with this word. Uniformitarian philosophies. Probably not going to be deceived by that one. I don't even know what it is. Uniformitarian philosophies. You have to talk to Brad or Eddie about what that one is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Inordinate devotion to pleasure and comfort. I know what that is. Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. No concern for God in belief or conduct. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and Jude, verse 15. Disregard for the sacredness of marriage. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. Rejection of inspired word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. A population explosion. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 11. Widespread violence. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 13. Corruption throughout society. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Preoccupation with illicit sexual activity. Genesis chapter 4, verse 19 and chapter 6, verse 2. Widespread words and thoughts of blasphemy. Jude chapter 15. Verse 15. Organized satanic activity. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm not really sure if I understand this one either. Promulgation of systems and movements of abnormal depravity. Let me say that again. Promulgation of systems and movements of abnormal depravity. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 12. Again, that's from the Genesis Record by Dr. Henry Morris, Institute for Creation Research. I'd like to add one more to Dr. Morris's list, and it is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Moreover, understand this, in the end of days will come trying times. People will be self-loving, money-loving, proud, arrogant, insulting, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, uncontrolled, brutal, hateful of good, traitorous, headstrong, swollen with conceit, loving pleasure rather than God, and they retain the outer form of religion, but deny its power. And it goes on to say, of such, stay away. What does it mean to retain an outer form of religion, but deny its power? It is to follow a name instead of a person. It is to follow a doctrine instead of the Torah. It is to follow religion instead of relationship. Now I want to go back to finish, back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. It says, "For there will be trouble then worse than there has ever been from the beginning of the world until now, and there will be nothing like it again." Many have thought this would be physical trouble. But I would suggest to you that it's not just physical trouble, but it is going to be spiritual trouble. It is going to be deception, greater than has ever been upon the face of the earth. There will never be a time like it again. Baruch Hashem. Deception is coming, is here, is growing. You and I must take an active role in the battle. We must be a part of the people that says they would be deceived if possible, but it was not possible. I want to be a part of the group of people that it's not possible for them to be deceived. I want to stand with that group of people. And how do we do that? I'll end with these verses, some of my favorite in all of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. "But the things that used to be advantages for me, I have, because of the Messiah, come to consider a disadvantage. Not only that, but I consider everything a disadvantage in comparison with the supreme value of knowing the Messiah, Yeshua, as my Adonai. It was because of him that I gave up everything and regarded all as garbage, in order to gain the Messiah and be found in union with him, not having any righteousness of my own based on legalism, but having that righteousness which comes from through the Messiah's faithfulness, the righteousness from Elohim based on trust. Yes, I gave it all up in order to know him, that is, to know the power of his resurrection, so that somehow I might arrive at being resurrected from the dead. It is not that I have already obtained it or already reached the goal. No, I keep pursuing it in the hope of taking hold of that for which the Messiah Yeshua took hold of for me. Brothers, I for my part do not think of myself as having yet gotten hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I keep pursuing the goal in order to win the prize offered by Elohim's upward calling in the Messiah, Yeshua." There's deceptions in the world around us. They are many. They are growing. There is one way to stay with the group of people that is immune from deception. And that is to keep him and his Torah as a focus of our lives, forgetting everything that is past, looking forward to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We pray it's been a blessing to you. For more information about the ministry of Joined to Hashem,
You can reach us by mail at Post Office Box 1816, Seminole, Oklahoma, 74818, by phone 405-257-6277, and also on the internet, joinedtohashem.org, and also toraislife.org. May Hashem bless you richly. As they come to